This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. 50 years ago this weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, the nation's first all-girl radio station went on the air. Legendary music producer Sam Phillips launched the station with cash he made selling Elvis Presley's record contract to RCA. Billed as 1,000 beautiful watts programming with glamour, sparkle, spice, WHER brought women's voices to the airwaves as never before. To mark the golden anniversary, we present an excerpted version of a documentary about the station produced by the Kitchen Sisters, also legendary, for their series Lost and Found Sound.
Good morning. This is WHER Radio, America's first all-girl radio station, Memphis, Tennessee. WHER, 1430 kilocycles, with full power.
And we signed on October the 29th, 1955. The thing was, nobody knew that we were going to be all girl. Each girl thought she was going to be the only girl on the radio station. Dottie Abbott, who I hired as general manager, I told Dottie, and she almost shouted, "I don't believe you, Sam. I know you're crazy, but you're not that crazy." You know, I mean, she was just beside herself. You were invading man's territory. I mean, you were supposed to be a guest or something if you're going to do anything as a woman on radio.
This is WHER Radio, America's first all-girl radio station for sparkling, bright music.
I'm Becky Phillips, and I was one of the original WHER girls. At the first, Dottie Abbott was experienced. Marion Kiesker was experienced, and I had been in radio. The other girls were mostly new, like Barbara Gurley and Bobby Stout. And
my wife, Becky, that's how I met her in radio. We were both kids in high school. Worked part-time at a little station in Alabama, our hometown. I'm Sam Phillips, and I'd wanted a radio station all my life. Radio, to me, it's a living thing.
My name is Betty Berger. My career started in 1956 when I went to work for WHER. Sam's wife, Becky, has a beautiful radio voice. And I think Sam recognized that, thinking, well, what would that sound like? Women playing records and music and talking and saying commercials and doing the news. That's different.
There's more to the job of girl announcer than what you hear from your radio. The girls pick their own music, run their own control boards, plus looking after our remote control transmitter here at our studios. We have to take and log all transmitter readings every half hour, as well as keep a program log.
They had no experience whatsoever. You were in a big market at that time. Memphis, Tennessee was a big market even in the 50s.
WHBQ Times Center News from Memphis, the Mid-South.
Before I went to work for WHER, I worked for WDIA, which was the world's first black radio station. But I worked there as a copywriter. I was not an announcer. No white people as stars. They were all black.
Let me tell you about a biscuit baptized.
This is Donna Barlett. I remember in particular the flour ads, and I wrote the spots.
You bake your biscuit with Martha White self-rising flour with hot rice. You got it?
And the reason I went there is that I wanted to be on the air, and I knew I could never be on the air at DIA.
11 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Tonight I know the kiss we share is sweet beyond compare, but will it stand the test? Of time.
70 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This is WHER Radio in Memphis, the first station in the nation to feature all-girl radio personalities. 1430 on your dial.
My name is Kimmons Wilson, and I'm founder of Holiday Inns in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. There's a boy named Sam Phillips. He's the guy that discovered Elvis and Johnny Cash and a half a dozen other real big stars. He came to me. He had heard that I was a guy that would take a chance on most anything. Said, "Kimmons, I got an idea. I want to build an all-girl radio station." So he told me he could get this station
built and put on the air for $25,000. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the $25,000, and when we get it on the air and I get all my money back, you own half of it.
I didn't have enough funds to build it and buy the equipment and everything without it encumbering Sun Records. I sold Elvis and signed a contract in October of 55, and we went on the air October 29.
We got a lot of pre-publicity out of that because it was an all-girl station, and we had sense enough to hire some good-looking girls. And I said, don't want to pay anything but love music. A man singing to a lady, a lady singing to a man.
I ain't gonna get those Sunday blues no more.
We were lady disc jockeys, and we did an occasional newscast. I mean, you were queuing up a record with the right hand, and you were pushing the tape button with the left hand, and you were getting a remote come over the telephone line. We got a lot of attention just because we were a bunch of women banded together. We got invited to every party in town.
Here's a Monday morning beauty offer you simply can't afford to turn down, girls.
Music, glamour, homemaking, and news. WHER 1,000 beautiful watts.
100% human hair wiglets for just $6.66.
Dottie Abbott, she was the one that was really the heart of the radio station. She was our boss.
Dottie wore black dresses. She walked around all the time with cigarette dangling in her lip and ashes all down the front of her dresses.
And she would put a cigarette between her teeth and she would tell us something. I want you girls to get out here now and sell some time. And she'd be straightening her blouse, and she had big boobs, and she would always be pulling at her girdle.
My name is Rena Franklin, WHER, 1956 through 1958. Mantovani came to Memphis. I remember interviewing Mantovani. You tried to get music that went with your time of day. Being record librarian, that was my job, was to listen to all the music. Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, June Christie. People sent us rock and roll music, of course, and we would get rid of it. And when I did the jazz program, I used Dave Brubeck's Take Five. And I think at that time, there certainly wasn't any other jazz program in Memphis.
Now, believe me, I love rock and roll. I loved it then, and I love it now. But I knew the concept we had for this station, that we were not going to use any of my great rock and roll records. This is how dedicated to the feel we wanted to get in that station. There was a dearth, an absolute dearth of album music. There was so much good music on the 12-inch LPs that was not being played, especially daytime radio. We were only a daytime station, sun up to sundown.
Mr. Charlie Sullivan, the general manager of WHER, is the man in the life of all the WHER girls. He handles his 8-girl announcing staff beautifully.
The girls, always for the most part, are really sweet, cooperative, and hard workers, of course. Like all performers, some of the girls have their temperamental moments, but they wouldn't be good air personalities if they didn't try for perfection, which most of them do achieve.
Stay tuned to WHER for all the news as it happens.
The sound that we were projecting had very little to do with news, although we were at news twice an hour. It was kind of a surface approach until Marge. Marge made us newsworthy.
And good afternoon to you. My name is Marge Thrasher, and I'm your listener and moderator from now until 2 o'clock as WHER Radio turns our microphones over to you, the listeners.
Charlie Sullivan called me to do this talk show. He said, Meg, I got just the thing for you. You don't want to stay home with those kids anymore. Anyway, I went on the air and had never heard a talk show. Nobody had talk radio. KDKA in Pittsburgh. And that was it. As far as I know, it was called Open Mic. You were on the air in a big glassed-in window, and everybody in town was listening.
Here on WHER.
Open Mic is operated with a 7-second delay
in case we do need to delete portions of conversation or comment.
See, nobody knew what to do with talk radio, especially me. I said, Charlie, what makes you think somebody's going to call?
Are you there? Can you hear?
And he said, no, no, they'll call.
Oh, and I'm not getting any conversation.
Hello?
Can you push the last button all the way down?
Hello?
That's it. That puts you in contact with us.
This is WHER 1430 on your dial with studios in the beautiful mid-city building in Memphis.
This is Ray Sherman, United Press International in Memphis. 1,000 striking sanitation workers marched on Memphis City Hall this afternoon and demanded Mayor Henry Loeb hear their grievances.
I urge you to go to work. I promise you that we're working on a raise and have been before this.
Dr. Martin Luther King has urged the Memphis Negro community to engage in a general work stoppage.
I'm Jane Rodak, WHER. There was a garbage strike. Tempers were running high. People that weren't involved in it were angry that we were having all this garbage all over and nobody was collecting the garbage. Garbage workers trying to get fair compensation. It was just a very volatile time.
Tomorrow, the strike moves into the third day, and the mayor is expected to take emergency action. The workers are striking for higher pay. Many receive only the federal...
You are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wage.
King promised to return to Memphis Friday to lead a general work stoppage.
Memphis had this story about itself that everything was separate, but it was equal. And when that spotlight got turned on the segregated city that Memphis was, it was obvious it wasn't equal at all.
Then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now.
I remember standing at the news machine and watching the news tap out that Martin Luther King had just been shot.
Like anybody, I would like to live.
Marge was on the air, and I took her the paper, and I could not talk and tell her what I had in my hands. I couldn't talk.
I just want to do God's will.
I was on the air, and they chose open mic because of a big listening audience to pay respects. I can remember reading the prepared statement, then played a Mahalia Jackson hymn, and then I said, now we'll take calls. Oh. I said, good afternoon. This is open mic, and it was a lady. And she said, are you a nigger or a nigger lover? And hung up the phone. I thought, what? I was stunned. Charlie Sullivan was stunned. We had nothing on the air. I mean, this is dead silence. And I got up and walked out.
They attempted to turn one of the squad cars over.
On the way home, I saw people standing on the corner with shotguns. I'd never seen it before.
Mace was used, which is a chemical gas. Was
you're listening to Jane on your all-girl station, 6 minutes before 1 o'clock.
And know that I love you.
People started burning things and throwing things, and marches were happening, and marches had been happening, you know, peaceful, you know, demonstration marches, but these were angry marches. And Charlie would give us our little tape recorder and say, they're going to have a march on Beale Street this afternoon. Will you go and get a news report? And, of course, we all wanted to go.
We were on the air when people were calling to get interviews, you know, to find out what was going on. Of course, they chose us last because we didn't have any guys. You know, it was all women.
We were not known to be sharp broadcasters. We were lady disc jockeys. But even our station started having calls from all over the world.
After that happened, we had a daily topic because Charlie felt like it was risky to let people call up and vent their hatred from both sides, blacks and whites.
Well, I was wondering, was there any way that the black people could participate in your program?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have many, many black people that participate in our program at this time. People who have a handicap.
The talk show was something that made a difference in this town. In the meantime, all around the talk show, we were still playing Ray Conniff. There were little dollops of political awareness wedged in between that.
And now the latest WHER worldwide and local news. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong have made their boldest strike of the Cambodian War.
Jackie Kelly, WHER from 67 to about 69. The president of the local chapter of National Organization for Women had worked on the station. She called me up one day and gave me a lot of trouble because the public service announcement started out, Mr. Employer. And see, I didn't think anything about that at that time because Mr. Employer was pretty much what was out there.
Do you have an interest in radio or television broadcasting? If you have a normal voice and a genuine interest in becoming a professional broadcast announcer, disc jockey, newscaster...
America's first all-girls station was interesting when there were no women in broadcasting, but there were beginning to be women in broadcasting. I think they figured the novelty was going to wear off.
W.
H.
E.
R.
Everything changed. There were suddenly men at the station. They paired me with a gentleman named Dick Potter, and I played the fool, and he was the intellectual one.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
This is for Elephant Stew.
Oh, come on, Dick. I thought you were serious.
As the women's movement came on and got strong and everything, WHER, they changed the call letters, put men on the air. I thought, well, isn't that strange? Here we are, women doing it, have been. Now they're going, there's no more of that. And then they called it We Radio, WWEE.
It was not, I'm telling you, it was not a novelty. WHER was an embryo because there wasn't anything else like it in the world.
We cordially invite you to stay tuned to WHER Radio all day, every day for sparkling, bright music, the latest worldwide news, and up-to-the-minute local and regional news.
Our look back at WHER was excerpted from the radio documentary by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Volo, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson our engineer. We had help from Kevin Schlottman and Katie Holt. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. The W.K. Kellogg Foundation, from vision to innovative impact, 75 years of philanthropy. And the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable and sustainable society. Support from the media comes from the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.